The ongoing conflict in South Sudan has kept everybody busy, including yourself. What is the U.S. government doing to bring an end to this crisis?
We are working very hard with IGAD, who are the mediators for the process. They have so far secured a cessation of hostilities agreement between the parties. That would be between the government of the Republic of South Sudan and the rebels that are led by Riek Machar. And they're putting in place, with significant funding from the U.S. government, the monitoring and verification mechanism, and then the teams that will be working underneath the mechanism to actually observe the cessation of hostilities agreement to make sure that it's being enforced.
And how optimistic are you about the prospect for peaceful settlement of this current conflict in South Sudan?
Well, it's not so much whether we're optimistic or not, but the fact is that there's no other solution. This is not a conflict that should nor can be won through the use of force and weapons. This has to be resolved through peaceful negotiations where people can understand each other and make a way forward to bring peace back to South Sudan.
And some people in South Sudan say foreign governments and international community are working very hard to remove the leadership in Juba. And one example, recently there was a huge demonstration in Juba and in Wau against a shipment of UN weapons that were intercepted in Rumbek. What is your take on these developments?
Clearly, the shipment of the weapons that were actually for the Ghanaian contingent, working with UNMISS as one of the troop contributing countries, they did not follow the protocol that UNMISS has established, that any weapons for their troop contributing countries are meant to be shipped by air. However, this was an error. They have admitted their mistake, but it was not out of malice, nor was it to try to ship arms to any of the rebels, nor to the government for that matter. And the UNMISS is truly neutral, and we support UNMISS and its operations trying desperately to help the people of South Sudan. So I do not believe that there is any government that is working to try to overthrow the government of Salva Kiir Mayardit, who was elected in 2010 in the elections, even though it was at a time while Sudan was still one, united. But attacks against the UN, whether it's UNMISS or the agencies of the UN and the funds like World Food Program, UNHCR, which is working with the refugees and the IDPs that have been displaced, they do not serve the government of South Sudan well. These are organizations that were put in place by the United Nations and by the Security Council. And an attack on UNMISS is really an attack on the entire UN system.
And your government has invested millions of dollars in aid and developmental projects in South Sudan. Recent media reports indicate that U.S. is considering ending its support for security sector reform in South Sudan. Is that true?
Yes, we are reevaluating, and right now our security sector reform programs are on hold. We find it, given that the government itself has acknowledged that some 60-70% of the army that was of the SPLA has either defected to the rebels or has run from the army. So it would be, does not make a lot of sense to continue support for an army that is not yet whole, and while recruitment of a new national army goes on, even in the light of the cessation of hostilities agreement, which suggests that they should not be recruiting new members to the armed forces, neither side.
And there are several recent reports indicating that journalists are being threatened or questioned about their work in South Sudan. How free is the media in that country?
Well, this has been an ongoing struggle and a problem. The Minister of Information has publicly threatened journalists, including for reporting on media just simply interviewing the rebels who are participating in the talks in Addis Ababa. This morning, one of the Voice of America journalists was also detained for several hours. This does no good for the image of South Sudan. It's important that they uphold their own constitution, which does guarantee free press and free speech. Newspapers have been shut down. We abhor the pre-publication censorship and it would behoove the government of South Sudan to allow media to publicly speak, as well as to gather freely to express themselves. Again, we urge the government of South Sudan to respect the freedoms, human rights and fundamental freedoms, including free speech and free press. And it does not serve the people of South Sudan well the more that they close political speech and political free space. It will not serve the government nor the people of South Sudan well, who really just want to hear different views and different perspectives. Ultimately, they will come out.
And the talks going on in Addis between the government and rebels allied to Dr. Riek Machar have been on and off. And if the two sides cannot even respect the cessation of hostilities, is there any hope for a lasting peace?
This is one of the reasons why my government is supporting the MVM, the Monitoring and Verification Mechanism. We've supported it with financial resources, with funding for staff, as well as for helicopters to be able to fly and observe whether one side or the other side or neither side is observing the cessation of hostilities. This is going to be an ongoing battle because right now both sides are still posturing for control on the ground, and fighting continues. Until that mechanism is up and running, I think we're going to be struggling with seeing the parties continuing to fight. And we just simply reiterate that there cannot be a solution militarily to this conflict, to something that is first and foremost political and where the demands of the people do need to be heard. Right now, the talks are on a pause, and a civil society conference is going to be organized in Addis Ababa next week. And we're looking forward to that and having the mediators and the parties be able to hear from civil society some of the grievances that have led to this conflict.
And there's been a talk of formation of an interim government that will exclude Dr. Riek Machar and President Kiir. Is that a viable option?
I think that right now it's important that the fighting stop on the ground. And as the peace talks get underway, we are working with IGAD to offer any suggestions, but it is the mediators who ultimately will be putting forward a variety of different proposals after having listened to all of the parties, not just the warring parties that have taken up arms, but also to civil society as well as to others, including the seven detained who were released to the custody of Kenya. They also have some words to say, and I think it's important that the mediators hear from everyone in South Sudan that can be represented.
And the government in Juba has been on record saying that they are doing their best to correct some of the issues that Western diplomats have been raising, issues such as human rights abuse, security sector reform, and then media freedom. You are coming from Juba. Have you seen any concrete signs of improvement?
No, I think right now, especially while they are in a crisis and the government is, the rebels are fighting the government, I think it's very difficult to institute any of these reforms on any sort of a longer lasting basis. Before the conflict broke out, they were in the process of trying to adopt a civil society non-humanitarian organization bill in the parliament that severely restricted fundamental freedoms and human rights. So this has been a trend. I don't think that it's new during this particular time, but I do believe that it will be difficult for them to make the changes that are necessary, especially at a time when so many in the army have deserted or have defected to the rebel side. That, to me, indicates that there is a much bigger problem, and it is not something that only the outside powers supposedly want. The people of South Sudan are speaking and saying that this is not how they would like for things to go, or they would not be defecting in such large numbers. So we are continuing to work with the government of South Sudan to try to encourage them to stop, as I mentioned, some of the free press violations. It goes against the constitution that the South Sudanese themselves have written and adopted.
Ambassador Page, this might be a personal question to you. You have a long history of involvement with the people of South Sudan, dating back to the years of the signing of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in Naivasha in 2005. And how do you feel about what is happening in the country, having stayed in Juba for almost a year.
More than two years.
How do you feel about these things that are happening?
Well, it's horrible. It's a real tragedy. You know, South Sudan, we knew, was going to have struggles. It's a country that is on the bottom of almost every single development indicator. So we knew it was going to be difficult. But it's, of course, painful to see the South Sudanese themselves fighting with each other and the massive destruction and killing that has taken place in the last almost 3 months now, where the violence has just really gotten out of hand and out of control. Thousands of people are dead. Towns fully destroyed, villages destroyed, the little infrastructure that had been managed to be built after 2005, gone. Markets, people's livelihoods. So of course it's tragic, and it, no one can feel good about this. So we will continue to work with the people of South Sudan to try to make it possible for the internally displaced people, as well as those who have left the country out of fear, to be able to come back home, to offer suggestions. But ultimately, it's the will of the people of South Sudan to determine their future. And that's exactly what they fought for, is to determine for themselves their future.
And how about some critics within the region, especially critics of U.S. government, saying that you saw all the signs of what was happening, but a lot of people kept a distance, and they're acting now when everything is up in flames?
I disagree with that. We did see a lot of the signs of impending violence, given the things that were happening within the government, within civil society as well. But all we can do is advise, offer advice, but people are not obliged to take advice. And ultimately, the government has made decisions, and the people that are fighting the government have made decisions that are out of our control. And at the end of the day, the people of South Sudan have to want the kind of government, want the kind of society that they build themselves. And if they don't want it, we cannot want it more than they do.